We come, Lord Jesus, from different things we've gone through this week, Lord, even today, Lord, just whatever it is, Father, you know all about it. And Father, we ask that, Father, we just be prepared now. Let's anoint us to hear, Lord, what you have to say and to recognize your voice as you speak to us, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord, just to calm down and just to get out of the way and, Lord, let you have your way, Father. Lord, we just long to hear your voice. We just want to see you, Father. We ask you to just take this word now and quicken it to our hearts. As I ask in your name, Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. If you would turn in your Bible, let me see if I can get my notes straightened out here a little bit. And we are going to... That's not it. In here somewhere... All right, John 1:8. Let's go to John 1:8. That'll be a place to start. Missed y'all last Sunday. Had a great time. Had a family reunion in Indiana. Preached up there at the church there where one of my sisters goes. It's a wonderful time, but I always miss it when I'm not here. So, John 1:8, it says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." You may be seated. Declared, what does that mean? It means to manifest, to demonstrate, or to show. And so he says, no man has actually seen God. We know God is a spirit, and you can't see him with these physical eyes, like a physical being so much. You can if he's in the form, certain form of the Holy Spirit or something, but no one has actually seen him. He said, the only begotten Son, he's talking about Jesus Christ, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared or manifested him. So we know that God, Jesus came for one of the reasons he came was to manifest God in flesh. So that when God lives in a human being, that human beings, other human beings can look at that and recognize that's God in flesh. That's one of the things. That's why he says to declare. And of course, we know he came as the Lamb, to redeem us back to him and all these things. But the reason he wanted to redeem us back was to get to a certain place where we would have back in fellowship with God, where it was God and man again in union, no more a chasm separating us, but we are back where all we lost in Eden when Adam and Eve fell, everything has been restored, and we are back in fellowship and union with Jesus Christ. That, Brother Branham said, is the super sign. I want to speak on a super sign tonight and just a short message tonight and trying to finish it up Sunday morning. I don't know if we will or not. But what he talked about is super sign, and this is when God and man have become one and you actually can recognize God in human flesh. Emmanuel, they called it. God with us. Now what Jesus was doing when he was manifesting the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the fullness, all the Godhead in a body. In the body of Jesus Christ, and he was declaring, this is what God looks like in flesh. Why would he want to do that? So that we would recognize when God is in flesh what it looks like, so we would not be deceived by some lying preachers or some people out here who think, well, this is God, and this is God, and this is God. But you can look at this and say, no, this is what God looks like. When this comes off the page and living, it looks like Jesus Christ. My. The only way we can know him is when he indwells you. And when he indwells you, it has the same characteristics as he had in Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ. And then you can look at that. I know it's him because I'm doing the same thing he did. I have the same characteristics. I have the same attributes. This is Jesus Christ. This is Emmanuel. Oh, my. And there's a million imitations. Satan will come and offer you a substitute. And you can look at it and say, well, wait a minute. That's not the same characteristics as I saw in Jesus Christ. What is it? He's declaring the Father. He's manifesting the Father so we won't be deceived. The only way you can know it, brother and sister, when he indwells you by the new birth. That's the only way you can know for sure. Nicodemus came to him and said, we know you're a man sent from, a teacher sent from God. He said, unless you're born again, you don't even understand what you're talking about. You don't know? We'll talk more about that Sunday, Lord willing. But here's the thing. It's not knowing about God. It's knowing Him is life. We all can tell, the whole world almost can tell you about God, and they get a place, well, you can make up your own God. Whoever you want to worship, that's fine. You can just have the God that you want to serve, and this is what God is to you, and this is what God is to you, and everyone could just choose whatever God you want to serve. But He said, the only begotten the Son had declared Him, so there's no excuse. If your God is not a reflection of Jesus Christ, you have not met Him. It's not the right one. You got the wrong God you're serving. Knowing Him, not knowing about Him, is life. And you have to be indwelling you. And then it's declared that His characteristics, you can see the same thing. That's why so many folks have the wrong religion. So many message believers, they're chasing after this, they're chasing after that, because the man behind the pulpit never could get him to the right one to begin with. But he presented, listen, if you just recognize this doctrine, if you understand this doctrine, if you live a holy life, if you follow this creed, if you do these things and these things and these things, then that means you're a message believer. And here's what Satan will do. He knows God started dealing with you. And he got God, he brought you to justification. And you knew it was God doing something. And then He brought you to sanctification, and He cleansed up your life, and you say, I know God changed me. And Satan will get you right there and say, well, you got it then. Satan will get you to stop going forward. He says, well, now come over here and sit in this church with this kind of pastor, and you're a message believer, and you're born again, because you know God's done something in your life. You know He changed you. You said, yes, He did. Yes, He did change you. Justification changes you. Sanctification changes you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost changes you. But yet none of that is the birth. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost without the birth. Now, you might get the baptism of the Holy Ghost when you get the birth, but it doesn't mean you got this at the same time. Sometimes a lot of people do, well, they got that baptism of the Holy Ghost and it was the birth and it all happened at one time. But a lot of people got the baptism without the birth. I did many times before it finally happened. Boy. But what Satan will do is say, well, you got it. You know you got it. You've gone far enough. But when you look in the mirror and you see there's still something not right. There's still something. I still know and I can't tell you how many times I sat there and I try to talk myself, but I know I got it because of this. I know I got it because of that. And then I turn around and say, well, I know I don't have it because of that. And I know I don't have it because of this. You ever been there? What a miserable place to live. Miserable. And I know there's just something not quite right. You know what was missing? The peace. Oh my. That peace that comes with knowing that I know. And it was just something I'm battling up here and battling up here and down here with myself, a thirst in there. There's still something that just wasn't quite where it should be. And I could have a thousand vindications. I know I'm born again, because if I would do this and this and all this stuff, and look how my life had changed, and look all this stuff, but yet something inside just wasn't resting. You know what happens when you get something inside resting finally? Satan brings all those proofs that you're not. And you know what happens? You just look back down inside and say, no, I'm at peace. I know what it is to be out there. I know what it is trying to be a message believer. I know what it is trying to live good enough. I know what it's about trying to believe I have it. Trying to believe I'm born again. Trying to believe, and then all of a sudden something happens. You say, well, that's not trying. I'm not trying to believe. I just am who I am. It's just happening. You know why? Because Brother Paul said this. If the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. Amen. That same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ dwelling in you will quicken this mortal body. That is this body. Amen. This is the only mortal body you'll ever live in. You don't need to be. Your immortal body is automatically quickened. This is the body that needs to be quickened. But what's it going to do? It's going to quicken it to declare the only begotten. It's going to quicken it to declare the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in flesh. You think you're talking about the Trinity. I'm talking about the one God. He demonstrates, he manifests himself in these different things. He's in the Holy Spirit in you, quickening, and he's showing that the Father still lives in flesh. You got us all confused, Brother Phil. You call him the Father, you call him the Holy Ghost, you call him the Son, you said it's the only begotten. How many gods do you serve? How many gods do you serve? It's all the same one. Hallelujah. Oh my. I can't wait to get to Sunday morning. I'm ready to jump there right now. How many gods are there? There's one. And yet, I can't help myself. Look, I have to quit. I'm just going to get all, not quit, but I mean, I'd get back. I'll have to wait till Sunday for that. Oh. When that peace and when that something happens, brother, sister, there is something there, and it's you recognize it's not you trying to prove you're born again. You ever try to prove you're born again? You try to prove you know God? You try to do this? Brother, sister, when you get there, you're just not quite there yet. If that's what you're doing, you're still not quite there. It's when it just comes from the inside automatically, and you're doing things, and you look in there and say, wow, Phil, you've never done that before. Wow, look at that. Oh, my goodness, what's going on around here? You're a different person. And you think, oh, I'm a different person. I'm not that same one who was trying to be a Christian. Now I'm just am. My, I hope you know what I'm talking about. I hope you do. What is it? Your mortal flesh declaring God in flesh, God to live, his manifestation, his characteristics. And sometimes you look at yourself and say, oh my goodness, look what's going on around here. Look what's happening. I think I said this before. I don't recognize the person I was a year ago. When I look at who I was a year ago and I look at the way I am now, I think, what in the world happened to you? You're not the same person. I can't wait to see what I'm going to be in 6 months from now or a year from now or how long. I can't wait because I am changing at such a pace that it just boggles my mind. You say, oh, you're sure bragging. I ain't bragging on anything except what God is doing. Is God doing this work? I look at some of you and I see the same thing. I said, look how they have changed. I look at other people and I think, oh my goodness, they're missing it. They're not changing. God have mercy. You gotta go on. What's it gonna take, brother and sister? You recognize it's not you, it's just you surrendering yourself. You are just surrendering, you're dying to yourself on a daily basis. And it's not you going out there, well, I'm going to die to myself. It's simply you believe what the word said in spite of what the circumstances are. And you have a good attitude no matter how you feel, because a bad attitude kills faith, but a good attitude will bring the word of God to pass. And you love when you don't feel like loving. And love is not a human love. Love is doing what's good, what that other person needs you to do, what that person needs you to say, no matter how it makes them feel and no matter how it makes you feel. You do it because you know the love of God is in you and it compels you. And you humble your pride. And you do what you have to do, and sometimes you hurt someone's feelings. You say to your wife, honey, and you say whatever you're going to say, and it might hurt her feelings, but goodness sake, you're going to do it because you love her. Vice versa. From preachers, from anybody, at work, whatever you're at, you're going to do things, you're going to say things that people look at, well, you're sure a hard head. What do you do the whole time? You keep a good attitude. You keep a positive attitude. When you're being stern, you have a good attitude. When you're having fun, you have a good attitude. It's a good attitude, folks. It's the hardest thing to do sometimes. You ever have a bad attitude, Brother Will? That's right. Someone ever, never? Does anyone here never have a bad attitude anymore? Everyone always has a good attitude? All right, we got one back there. I thought I saw wings. I know why we were about that. Blue jacket so it'd kill those wings so the rest of us don't get jealous. I know your mood. Oh my. Let me find this one chord I got to get to. Listen to this. Talking about super Zion. He said, you had better get your thinking on now. Open up your hearts. This is Brother Brown. He said, get your thinking on. Open your hearts. Ask God to reveal this to you, what I'm fixing to say. Excuse me. Ask God to reveal this to you, what I'm fixing to say. It must be very important. When he come, when Christ come, he fulfilled what the prophet said. And when he's coming in the last days, in the latter days, latter rains of God, when both former and latter rain will be poured out, we're in that day, brother and sister, he's coming just exactly the way it was prophesied of him. It shall be light in the evening time. Now, every message believer can say amen to that. He come exactly where it's prophesied. He came according to Malachi 4 and through the prophet and manifesting and all the things he did, bringing the message. And we all say amen. What was to happen? He's talking about this time, light in the evening time, not our time. What was to happen? Emmanuel, the same sun, the same light. The same God that come to dwell in flesh with his people at the day of Pentecost will come in the like manner in the last day, for it shall be evening light. So the same light, the same thing they had at Pentecost, we're going to have the same light, the same God, the same manifestation as they did. If not, brother and sister, we're wrong. If we don't have it, we are wrong. You say, well, I don't think we have it to the extent that they did. That's fine. As long as we're heading in that direction, we will get there. Just keep going. But when so many people point you to something else, well, listen, you've been a message believer for 20 years, 30 years, Brother Paul. Surely you must be born again by now. No matter how long you sit in that pew, it doesn't give you a berth by sitting in the pew. You need that personal relationship with Christ. The same thing. Let me tell you something, brother and sister. Every ministry, let me get to that in a second. He said, what is it? There shall be a sign, an everlasting sign. Oh, you want to hear what? These sleeves are killing me. You want to hear what that sign is? Oh, it's going to be like a great splitting the sky with a great ball of fire, and everyone's going to see it, and we're going to be out there dancing underneath the ball of fire. You know better than that. You're going to see Brother Brown come riding back on a big white horse. You better quit taking your drugs. What is this sign, this great everlasting sign? He said, God with us. God in us. Amen. God through us. Amen. Man and God becomes one. That's the everlasting sign. That's the super sign. Let me tell you something. You know what message believers want to see? They want to see someone who does the same kind of discernment Brother Branham did. They want to see someone come and do some kind of healing. They want to see someone come and just preach their ears off so they can't even hardly stand and say, wow, what a deep preacher. You know what he said? The great sign is God in you, the hope of glory. Who cares about the rest of it? If it comes or goes, we're going to have signs, we're going to have miracles, we're going to have all that. But without God in you, the hope of glory, you still ain't getting anywhere. But Satan will point you to all this other supernatural stuff and say, see, they got it. See, they got it. See, they got it. And look at you all. Yeah, look at you all. I see a super sign, folks. I see a super sign. I see people accepting the word and going forward. I see people dying to themselves. I see Christ being formed in human flesh, and it comes so slowly. Man. You know why it comes slowly? To keep us humble, to hide it from other people. is a secret coming. What if all of a sudden Brother Jerry got up here and he started speaking something, or he started saying something, that all the great miracles and stuff that happened? You know what people do? They start flocking in. Brother Jerry has he has discernment, or Brother Jerry, he can lay his hand on you and heal the sick. And he did this, and he raised 22 people from the dead and all this other stuff. We'd have people all over the place. And you know what God says? I don't want them here. It's too late. See, that's the first and second pull. That's what attracts the denominational Christian. But brother and sister, this is going to get me so excited. Just hang on your seat. Brother and sister, what excites, what draws the attraction of the bride is the third pull, which is the opening of the word. And what we're talking about, this is the opening. What is it? It's, well, the opening of the word when Brother Branham preached it. Yes, that was the seed being planted. And that got our attention. But brother and sister, there's something greater than that. That seed that was planted has now come to life. It's grown up. That attracts the bride. That's what gets us excited. And you can have all the miracles you want. And I love miracles. Don't get me wrong. I want some too. And I'm claiming one for my hip right now. But brother and sister, even without all that, as long as I have the word manifest, the opening of the word right here, then I'm good to go. The rest of it is just nice stuff on the outside, but you gotta have that. That's the super sign. That's the sign that is rejected. That's what they don't want. That's the cornerstone. That's the headstone. And that's what the rest of the world don't want, because all it takes is death to yourself. It's not all flashy and bright and shiny and pretty and everyone wants this. This is something that's an inner thing. It's just you and God, and sometimes it gets really lonely in that place. You don't get lonely with God, but sometimes you get lonely standing in the midst of a crowd and knowing and you just don't even fit or whatever, because it's just you and God. And as long as God's there, but you know, sometimes God just kind of eases away and you just feel all alone, because he's saying, what are you going to do now? Remember all those things of the world you used to find your comfort in? Not bad things. I'm not talking about running around and drinking and all that kind of thing. I'm talking about all those pastimes that you used to do to find comfort before you found me. And now I'm going to see, are you going to go back and chase that? Or are you going to stay here with me? And we grow, and we grow, and these things lose their pull, they lose their hold, and we get drawn more and more to Christ. Let me finish this quote. God in, God with us, God in us, God through us. Man and God becomes one. Jesus died that he gave that precious life on his decision. Because he gave it for a decision that he might bring many sons to God. He had to make a decision. Brother, sister, you and I make decisions. We make decisions every day. I woke up Tuesday morning. And for whatever reason, I'm a morning person. I get up a lot of times. The first thing I'm doing is singing. I'm talking. I'm doing whatever. I like mornings. Tuesday morning, I woke up in a bad mood. And it was one of that thought, go, well, this day sure sucks already. And it's like, man, here it is. I'm already, it's like going to be a bad day. And those thoughts were just kind of mingling there. And I said, wait a minute. What am I in a bad mood for? And I sat there thinking, nothing. Sometimes I wake up, I had a dream that puts you in a bad mood, or something, you know, from the night before, and I'm looking, no, there's really nothing to be in a bad mood about. Then I'm not gonna waste a day being in a bad mood. And so I started being happy. I made a decision. I don't have to be in a bad mood if I don't want to be in a bad mood. And I'm not gonna waste a beautiful morning when I could be in a good mood. I had a great day. It's decisions, folks. It's us choosing what kind of person you want to be. What do you want to do? And then, you know, I go to work. Something was on my mind. I said, God, I need help with this. You know, I know I need to go through something to get rid of this thing that's just bothering me about something. And so, you know what happened? He said, okay. I went to work, and I ran into that situation there and there and there. And I'm thinking, what is all this going on? And I said, oh, yes, I asked for this. What do you got in a bad mood for? You asked for the trial. I don't like trials. Do you like trials? You better not say yes. But you know what it did? It was good for me. So I had a good attitude. Semi. I tried to. Oh. When I stop and think of what, just the things I've been preaching, just right now, and I look at it and I say, I know I said this 1,000 times, but just to keep it in mind, look how simple it is to go into rapture. Think how simple it is to go into rapture. What a bunch of fairy tales that I've been taught so much of my life about how difficult it is going to rapture. Now, it's not very many going to make it. I believe that completely. Look at all the message believers. Look how many people are actually going on. But the reason why is too simple for them. They had to be holy enough. They had to do this. They had to do that. And they didn't want to die to themselves and keep going. And so they got to a point and they veered off this way because Satan gave them a substitute this way or that way or that way. They said, oh, I just can't do it. I just can't live good enough. It's the decision you make, folks. I'm convinced that what Brother Branham said was the truth. God hides in simplicity. And the simpler it gets, the more I see Christ. And it seems so simple. It surely has got to be more than this. And yet it's so simple that the wise and prudent and all the smart people, they go right over the top. And the religious people go right over the top. And they think, oh, that's so simple. But they're up here and it's down here. Now look how deep it is. Look how simple, how deep that simplicity is, because they're so far over the top. And they're down in these mysteries and all this and trying to figure it out. He gave it for a decision that he might bring many sons to God. Emmanuel with us, the evening light people. It would attract them. Emmanuel. God with us, the even light people, it would attract them. Brothers and sisters, that's the third pull. It's the even light people, when they see this, when they see God in flesh, it attracts them. The make believers and the other believers, the foolish persons, all these different ones who are not bride, brothers and sisters, they see God and they see the manifestation of supernatural things and they see the miracles, they see all these things, and that attracts them. But when you get into the Word being made flesh, you're like, well, that's nothing really, is it? Well, several years ago, a minister said something like that. I don't see any of these young ministers producing what Brother Branham produced. Well, we're not supposed to. We're not prophets. We're not prophets to the age. We're not supposed to be getting all this attention. What was he looking for? He's looking for someone to do what Brother Branham had done. Don't be looking for that. Look for the super sign. The super sign, God in us. Doing things. Living a life, a character, a love, a faith, a power. To overcome, sin is dead to us. And we just walk through life being a normal human being. He said, when God gave the sign, this will be a sign. God will be dwelling in flesh. He thought that would attract the people. It did. Who did it attract? Just the bride. Remember Brother Branham said how he tried to explain the first pull. He tried to explain the second pull. And that angel said, I told you not to do that. He said, I'm not going to try to explain this. He learned a lesson. Why? So that when it happens, the bride would see it and the rest of the people would go right over the head because of the decisions they make. He said, it did attract them. For as many as received them, to them gave he the power to become sons of God. You want to know whether or not that you are part of the bride? Has he given you the power to become a child of God? Has he given you the birth that changes your attitude, that changes your nature, so that you can look at yourself and there's peace and there's joy and there's love and there's faith in spite of everything that's going around about you? And even when you don't feel like it, you come to church and you praise God anyways. Why? Because he's done something that's worth praising him for. Amen. It attracted your attention. It attracted you. And you try to leave and you try to look at this and that. But one thing kept you there. It was the opening of the Word. Oh my. He said, it's supposed to attract the evening light people when that same light shows. God and Christ are one. Peter said, let it be known unto you that God's made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, a sign evil spoken of, but the evening light is here. It's evil spoken of. Why? Because make believers, message believers, look at it and say, well, I don't think that has to be that way. You don't need to preach that way. I don't think that's that important. I think you need to learn to get along with people. You need to have more fellowship with different churches. You need to talk nicer to people. You need to preach a positive gospel. And the bride sits there and say, yeah, but something's attracting my attention. It might be evil spoken of, but all the rest of the people, but it's something that's precious to me. It's precious. It's wonderful. Why? Because you see the word happening in your life. My, my. New birth. Kept asking Brother Branham. They kept wondering, what is the new birth, Brother Branham? How do we know what the new birth is? How are we supposed to know? What is it? He's preaching when he's preaching in Christ is the Mystery God. He said, the new birth is a revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. You and him become one. You know him. How do you know him? He's the word happening. And you look at it and you see it and it's so simple. And you say, it's got to be something more than that. It's got to be something more. And he comes and he just speaks to you. He says, what more are you looking for? I'm doing this work. It's the word happening in your life. What more do you want? That's the super sign. And it anchors. And you find out that what he said in Hebrews said, faith is the evidence. Faith is the evidence. What evidence you had that you're born again, Brother Phil? It's been revealed. It's a substance that's in my heart and my heart and my soul, and it tells me that I'm born again. Well, what happened? I got born again. Well, where's your evidence? That's my evidence. There's a peace in there that I never had until it happened. I was very religious for years. I lived a good life. I was a good guy. When you ignore all the mistakes and stuff I was making. But you look at me and say, Brother Phil, you're a good, solid message believer. I say, yeah. And inside I know there's still something that's not quite right. And I might go for a month or 2 months or a while and think, yeah, everything's good, I'm doing good. And then I just kind of spiral back down. And it's like, no, no, there's still something wrong. But what happened is one time God spoke to me and said, this is me. I can't go against what Jesus said. Unless you're born again, you don't even understand what I'm talking about. You can hear it. You get your own idea. But unless it's happened, you don't know. And thousands of people think they do. They think they're born again. Brother and sister, make sure you have that peace. That's something that's settled, that's something that anchored. And because God put it there, not because of something that happened to you, not because of some sensation you had, not because of some doctrine you understand or whatever, but God came and he gave you such a peace inside. He said, well, you don't, Satan never comes and tries to tell you you're not born again. Of course he does. That's his job. He's supposed to. But I don't argue with him anymore. I said, okay, prove it. God will prove I am. You can prove I'm not. See who's stronger. It's not up to me to prove if I'm born again, brother and sister. It's God. Let him prove his own word. If he doesn't prove it, then I'm not. Well, what if he doesn't? Then I'm not. But what if? What do you mean, what if? Either he's going to keep his word or he's not. If I am, I have nothing to worry about. It's a lack of trust in God sometimes. We start trying to do things on our own because we're afraid God won't hold up to his end of the bargain or something. You can trust him. He's going to take care of us. I'm just so excited, so encouraged. I can't hardly stand it. It's good to be a Christian. Amen.
to see the word happening among us. Super sign. Super sign. Brother Phil, I don't feel super. I don't either. And he never said, when you feel the super sign. No, he said, it's God in us, with us, working among us, declaring to this world, Emmanuel, that even like people are here. You feel like an even like person, Sister Susie? Don't matter, does it? Sometimes you feel like it, don't you? Absolutely. Sometimes you don't. That's when you walk in faith, knowing who you are, because you're not going by feelings anyways. Amen. Let's stand so I can quit. God bless you. So, I appreciate you sticking around and waiting. I'm sorry I was late. It's the way it happens sometime, I guess. And it's good to be here. It's good to be here. Keep everybody in prayer. The ones who couldn't make it for whatever reason, keep the ones in prayer who didn't make it. Just remember to pray for each other, okay? It's just really, it's not a magic potion or something you're saying, not magic words you're saying when you pray, bless this brother, bless this brother. But when you're saying it from your heart, God's listening. He said, okay, I'll do what you asked me to do because you're my kids. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're just so grateful we could make it tonight, Lord, and just to be able to speak to this people, Father. We just thank you for coming and manifesting yourself and quickening this to our hearts, Lord, and just anointing us to hear. Lord, I pray that each person here was encouraged, Lord, and let their faith, Lord, just rise up to meet the need of the hour, Lord Jesus, we go from here. Father, we're in the greatest battle, and it's such a trying time, but Lord, you give us such peace, you give us joy, you give us hope, you give us faith to just anchor, and when we go through the hard trials, Lord, there's still something that just keeps us going. Lord, we know it's not us, it's not ourselves, it's not our ability, it's you, Lord Jesus, by the preaching of the word, you keep us pressing on. We ask that you just continue to do this till we come to that body change. Lord, bless the ones who aren't here tonight for whatever reason. Watch over them and help. Help us all, Lord, to come back Sunday morning, Lord, in the right attitude of faith, Lord Jesus. Just encouraged and ready to press the battle. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing that.